This show was first broadcast on Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. For more information on our lineup of shows and the role we play in the media, visit freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street, or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Can you hear me? Greetings, I am Barry. This is The Voice Within for another week. Well, it's certainly happening all this month, isn't it? Everything's going on. We've got another lunar eclipse arriving on the 28th, so Pam Gregory is going to tell us all about that.
Hi everyone, Pam Gregory, astrologer. I'm going to be speaking to you today about the second half of October and the lunar eclipse that we have coming up in Taurus on the 28th. Now, I am recording this video very early. That's partly because of my own personal work commitments, but it's also partly because this eclipse month is just so huge. So I wanted you to be very aware of the energies going right through the month. So just to remind you, the solar eclipse, the annular solar eclipse, is happening on the 14th of October. And the eclipse path for that eclipse was running sort of northwest to southeast across the United States through kind of Oregon, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, Texas. And if we're looking forward, there's a very powerful total solar eclipse next April. April's going to be a huge month next year for various astrological reasons. That is going to be running from the northeast to the southwest. So it's like a cross, if you like, going across America. And I believe the crossing point is round about Texas. So this feels like a kind of pressure cooker for the US and putting more emphasis, more focus on the US at the same time as the US has its Pluto return, which I've talked about a great deal, for exactly the degree for the final time this year, although that process clearly will roll on all through next year and possibly beyond. But eclipses act like portals, doorways to new dimensions. They're very powerful. They very often bring surprises, a little bit like Uranus transits. They often bring wild card opportunities, shocks, surprises, and the changes are usually permanent. So they're a big deal, particularly if they aspect anything in your chart. Now, eclipses always bring with them intensity. I've used that word so often in the last 3.5 years, but again, this is another peak moment because the solstices, equinoxes, and eclipses act as peak energy moments, if you like. So from the 12th of October till the 24th of November, we have Mars moving into its ancient sign of rulership, Scorpio. It's very comfortable in Scorpio. So it's moving out of Libra, where it's had to be quite diplomatic, quite strategic, not loud, into Scorpio, where it's kind of unleashed. It will be like a laser beam. It has a passion, it has a focus, particularly for digging up secrets that are underhand, underworld, underground, big money, criminal money, that kind of thing. So it will be quite relentless and ruthless over that period of time in digging up secrets that may be related to not only finance, Scorpio, and by the way, this is the last eclipse we are going to have in a financial sign as I start to talk about the lunar eclipse in Taurus. Taurus, Scorpio, that's the financial axis. We won't have another eclipse in that financial axis for 8 to 9 years. So this is why this is important too. So it may be digging up Mars and Scorpio, maybe digging up secrets about big money, hidden money, criminal money, long repressed secrets. Could also be linked to issues around toxicity of all kinds. That's also very Scorpionic. But to look at some of the detail as we run into this lunar eclipse, and all the way through the whole of October, we're going to have that energy. And remember, with eclipses, you feel the energy up to a month before and up to 6 months later, generally, or certainly the consequences of the eclipses up to 6 months later. So on the 18th of the month, we have the Sun and Mercury in Libra opposing Eris. Now, Eris, because it has a 560-year cycle, is in Aries for a very long time. And remember, the symbolism of Aries is all about warrior, sister of Mars, feisty street fighter, will not give in in any kind of compromise. She is absolutely unrelenting, a little bit like Mars in Scorpio is unrelenting in getting to the truth, getting to justice and moving towards a fairer society. So Eris has some great stuff going for her. But the Sun and Mercury in Libra opposing Eris may make people realize, if they've been at all compliant or people-pleasing, either personally or in a larger social context, you know, they didn't want to rock the boat, they wanted to go along with the system, that they may be realizing that may not have served them perfectly. There's that kind of feeling. And Eris brings with her a feeling of people, more people want more freedom of expression, more freedom of action. They just want to be freer to live who they are in a state of authenticity. So that's round about the 18th. And very soon after that, 20th, 21st, Mercury and the Sun are both square to Pluto. So this is bringing up issues again of power. Yet again, Pluto is so heavily aspected this year. And around about the 20th, it could be powerful words on the world stage by some leader. It could be powerful words in your personal life. And again, the next day, issues around power and control. But it's triggering Eris at the same time. He was resisting very fiercely and will never give in. The moon is also in that repeating T-square of being square to Eris and Pluto too. Positively that day, on the 21st, we have Jupiter trine to Venus at 12 degrees of Taurus Virgo. So if you have any planets around 12 degrees of the Earth signs, Taurus Virgo Capricorn, I'd go from kind of 11 to 13 degrees of the Earth signs. You may around that day see some success or some recognition or even some abundance coming in for you, something you've earned. There's a sense of expansion, which is very positive and could relieve some of these more intense energies. On the 23rd, and we're well into this lunar eclipse energy at this point, we have Pluto in a hard aspect to Venus, Pluto's sesquiquadrate Venus. And this is at the same time that we have the moon square to Uranus in Taurus. Now, Pluto always brings intensity, turmoil, and Venus is love and Venus is money. So it could well be that, particularly if Venus is moving through your fifth house or your seventh house, or through the financial houses, second house, eighth house. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can download a free birth chart from my website, go to the link below and get a two-part video series that will take you from zero to teach you. They're not personal birth chart analysis, they teaching videos to teach you how to find these points in your chart and therefore make much more sense of these updates I do for you regularly. So there could be emotional turmoil at this time. There could be in relationship, there could be financial turmoil. And that because of this lunar eclipse being in Taurus and three planets in Scorpio, as we'll see in a moment, both financial signs, and as I say, it's the last sign for 8-9 years in that financial axis, it could well bring up, because October is the historic time for stock market volatility. I understand already in the US there's a lot of volatility around bonds, treasury bonds, US bonds. We may see that. And the moon square to Uranus in Taurus, Taurus ruled by Venus, banking, currencies, stock markets, money. So we will see what unfolds. It's very interesting that if I look at the chart for the stock market crash, that has its midheaven at 29 of Capricorn, and that's exactly where Pluto is moving on to, of course, in the next few months. On the 26th, we have Mars sesquiquadrate Neptune. And this can be wonderful if you're involved in any kind of spiritual practice, you know, yoga, qigong, tai chi, that kind of thing. But if you have, you're following specific goals or ambitions with Mars, you may feel that they dissolve a little bit, or you just lose enthusiasm, or they seem less interesting or less compelling. You just kind of lose it, really, lose that point of focus. But it is excellent for spiritual practice, excellent for meditation as well, actually. So then we have the lunar eclipse on the 28th. And I'm going to show you the chart in a moment. This is at 5 degrees and 9 minutes of Taurus. And this happens at 1:23 p.m. Pacific and 9:23 p.m. UK time. Now, we have six planets in fixed signs here, a lot of fixity. So that suggests great determination that we have at this time, but also a lot of us kind of digging in our heels around our views and particularly around our belief systems, which are very highlighted at this time, which we'll see. So just before I show the chart, I just wanted to share with you, first of all, the eclipse path. For this lunar eclipse, it's quite different from the solar eclipse, and it's very broad geography, actually. So this covers, it's a partial lunar eclipse, and it covers Europe, Asia, Australia, Africa, the east, mainly the eastern side of North and South America, Pacific, Atlantic, Indian, Arctic and Antarctic areas. So that's very broad. But if we look at the astrocartography, and that's different, that isn't the eclipse path, that means where at the moment of the lunar eclipse, where planets become angular on an angle, like ascendant, descendant, midheaven, IC. And that's more specific. So at this lunar eclipse, the lunar eclipse is angular on the midheaven, in fact, running through Vancouver, Canada. And because it's on the midheaven, that may say something about, you know, pivotal change, because lunar eclipses are about endings and beginnings, pivotal change in the leadership or the government of that country. It's also angular, skimming northeastern Brazil. And at the time of the lunar eclipse, we have Uranus at the base of the chart, the IC, which is the land. Now, Uranus is a very eruptive energy, as you probably know by now. If you listen to my videos, a very, you know, earthquakey, volcanic kind of energy. And it needn't necessarily be the land. It could be, you know, political, financial, etc. But that's running really straight up through California, vertically Nevada, Idaho, skimming kind of eastern Washington state and up into Canada. And that's Uranus on the IC, the land. The lunar eclipse in a different geography is also angular straight through central Australia And in that geography, Pluto is on the icy, on the land. So that could suggest some great transformation happening for Australia. It's straight through central Australia. The eclipse also runs on the midheaven, again, suggesting some kind of possible change in leadership or government straight through Russia, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. Pluto is also on the IC running through Japan as well. So these are quite specific and big and important. So I know that covers a huge amount of the world, but any of those geographies could come into prominence at this time. Not all of them, that's very unlikely, but because astrology is a language of probability, then we should expect some of those geographies to come into the news, to come into prominence in some way. So just watch and observe, and let's see what unfolds. So lunar eclipses are like big full moons. So this is very much the peak of the moon cycle. So see where 5 degrees of Taurus falls in your chart, where the moon is. The sun and moon are always opposite each other at a big full moon, of any full moon, in fact. So see which house area this falls in your chart. So it usually represents some closure, completion, culmination, shining a light on something you didn't see so clearly before. It's a very big time of ending, actually, ending and release. Releasing anything. A full moon is a great time to release anything which no longer serves you, particularly when it's a really big full moon like a lunar eclipse. So see where it falls and see that house area, what patterns, what behaviors, what, you know, self-talking, self-narrative you could let go. This is a very big time for clearing, and all the bigger because of everything else that, you know, the really big context that's going on in the world. I do think this is a very volatile time financially, as I say, and that's linked to Taurus and Scorpio. But Taurus is also linked to our food supplies, our agricultural systems, food production. It's also linked on our kind of feelings of safety and security, what we need to feel safe and secure in our lives. It's about the fundamental needs, really. And to emphasize that, we have Uranus at 21 of Taurus. And if you can see this black line with a little Q here, this is 165 degrees to the sun, quindicile. Quindiciles, 165 degrees, have very tight orbs, only 2 degrees either way. But it's an aspect of upset or obsession or some kind of, you know, turmoil in some way. And of course, that reinforces this very strong Scorpio energy, which is so emotionally intense, Sun, Mercury, and Mars, particularly Mars, as I say, because it's so driven in this, its old sign of rulership. So it'll be interesting to see which house area for you it falls in, because that will give you some idea of what you're feeling intense about personally. But this is likely to produce some heated words, Mercury, Mars, it's sharp words, heated words, words in revenge, Scorpio. You know, speaking too quickly, that conjunction becomes exact on the 29th, but really this is a triple conjunction around, you know, we're spatting, we're tempers, we're, you know, fierce, angry words are going to be spoken at this time, as I say. And we're likely to be feeling very emotional. We're ready to fight, almost, is the energy here, ready to fight a battle. And the battle could be, and, you know, again, I'm speaking more to 3D level here, because, of course, if we're on our eagle's perch, we may not want to do that. But certainly at a 3D level, there is great potential for a fight for what you believe in. Because Mars, Jupiter, there's a Mars-Jupiter exact by degree opposition here. And Mars Jupiter is always about belief systems, what you're ready to fight for in terms of your belief systems. So something is being uncovered, I would say, Mars Scorpio revealing secrets. Something's being uncovered that we are feeling very emotionally intense about and that we are willing to fight for because it's part of the belief system. And we may equally be fighting against other people's belief systems about what they believe. That this could produce some confrontations. And Scorpio is very complicated as a sign, whereas the other end of this full moon, this lunar eclipse, moon conjunct Jupiter, this will certainly blow up the emotion at this time. Moon is our emotion, Jupiter expands, it'll blow up, expand, magnify, amplify whatever is unfolding at this time. But also it will encourage us because if Scorpio is intense and complicated, Taurus just wants to take us back to the simple, back to the basics, bare feet on the earth, grow your own vegetables, grow by the phases of the moon, get in touch with the natural rhythms of the earth, you know, warmth, decompress your energy. Taurus is not only linked to nature and the earth, it's linked to our own physical body. So can you, you know, there will be a deep urge for stillness and peace here, deep urge to just check out for a while from all this kind of full on emotional intensity and all that's being revealed and just warmth. So remember these simple, simple things you can do. Close your eyes, drop into your breath, baby belly breath. Imagine that the breath is just breathing you. In and out through your belly, just like a baby. You're not forcing, you're not pushing. The breath is breathing you. But it's a deep belly breath. 100% focus on the breath, nothing else. Not on all the crazy drama outside. 100% focus for these few moments. You can put your worries in a box by the side. You can pick them up when you're finished. Just warmth and just let that breath subside. Let it slow. Let it deepen. Take a pause at the end of the inhale and the exhale particularly. Just drop into that breath. That will take you to stillness very quickly. Reduce your cortisol levels with all this intensity really quickly. Or drop into the heart. Imagine that you're breathing in and out through the heart. Feel your heartbeat. Ideally have bare feet on the grass. Simple, simple things. Or just have your back against a tree, staring at the sky, listening to birdsong. There's a big urge here for simplicity and stillness and connecting to the earth. Bare feet on the grass, weather permitting, as often as you can. And also try and get, which is what the astrology is encouraging us to do here, is have this sense of expansion, energetic expansion, moon Jupiter, welcoming in an expanded consciousness of love. That's what this aspect is about. Jupiter is higher consciousness. It's the planet of expansion in Taurus, ruled by Venus. I'm welcoming in an expanded consciousness of love. And really try and feel that sense of expansion and spaciousness. Spaciousness as often as you can in your day, as well as taking a few moments out to drop into the breath. Take a few moments out to look up. Look up to the trees. Look up to the sky. How often are we looking down to our phones, even when we're outside in nature? That's why I never, ever take my phone in nature. There's no point, then I'm not in nature. So try and cultivate that sense of spaciousness and expansion, because we are walking into worlds right now, for sure. And I think we're getting a stronger and stronger sense of this. I mentioned a couple of videos ago that, you know, Bashar, channeled by Daryl Anker, has spoken about you know, this glass wall between these two worlds, that we could see each other, or certainly we could see the 3D world, but we weren't fully partaking of it. Whereas it's less possible, I think, for 3D to see the higher dimensions, because it's a very contracted energy. And so really, the more you can develop this sense of spaciousness and expansion by just looking up, look up to the treetops, look up to the sky, simple stuff, but feel what's coming in, because this energy is coming in leaps and bounds, and we know it is. So the other aspect I want to talk about here is Varuna, dwarf planet Varuna. And I've talked about Varuna in the past, but just to recap, she's at 8:45 of Leo. Remember, they've all got very slow orbits. So she's in a T square to the sun and the moon, which are at 5 of Taurus. And Varuna is the Hindu creator god of the oceans and the waters. In fact, she's really connected to all bodies of water all over the world, the whole underwater universe as well. She's said to watch over the demons of the ocean in the myth. I find that extremely interesting. She's connected to the rains and the seasons. And she also embodies vast divine power, vast divine power. She's a keeper of moral law, And she punishes those who do not honor their sacred contracts, who are liars, essentially. And this also links to the myth of Orcus, which I've talked about, Orcus several times, linked to conjunct Venus here, so thrown into prominence. Orcus is the Etruscan god of the underworld, who punishes those who break their sacred oaths and spiritual law. So very similar, takes them down to the underworld, makes them see the light, or if they can't, they receive a kind of a just punishment. So many of these dwarf planets have a very strong moral compass for us that remind us of our relationship with the earth, our relationship with nature, this sacredness, this reverence that we must keep the earth in and not violate. And I think that speaks volumes to the transition that we're in right now. But we have 5 planets in water here. We have 3 in Scorpio, and Saturn and Neptune in Pisces. And that's why I think Varuna, as the Hindu god, a creator god of the oceans and all of the waters of the world, becomes even more important. I think water is going to become massively important, not only because of the prominence of Saturn and Neptune there. Saturn moves out of Pisces in February 26, and that's really when Neptune moves fully out of Pisces too. But we also have Sedna, whose myth is totally connected to the deep oceans. And I haven't put her on this chart, but she's just moved into Gemini. And again, when the dwarf planets change sign, they're thrown into prominence. So we have a lot about the seas and the oceans and water. Water is going to be huge moving forward. The purity of water, the toxicity of water, the structuring of water, the crystallization of water, what we can do to change water through our emotion, water being divine consciousness. Look at the work of Ade Austin. Look at the work of Randy Hatton too. Just a couple of other things I want to mention here. This lunar eclipse is hitting the chart of Joe Biden, President Biden. The lunar eclipse is conjunct his moon, which rules his 8th house of secrets. That's interesting. At the same time as he has transiting Saturn conjunct his south node. And that can be quite difficult, to be honest. South node is our past actions, and Saturn is always a reality check. So that's quite a tricky transit. Varuna at 8:45 of Leo is conjunct his Pluto, very tightly conjunct his natal Pluto, which rules his 12th house. When you have planets ruling the 12th house that are being aspected, it could bring up a critical health issue. Sixth house is health, 12th house is critical health. Also, this lunar eclipse is squaring the ascendant of China. China's ascendant is at 5 degrees of Aquarius, so this lunar eclipse is at 5 degrees of Taurus. It's also square the moon, the people in that chart of China. Moon is at 3 degrees of Aquarius. So again, China could be brought into prominence at this time. So, and what I'd like to share with you now, I mean, we are very aware of these jumps in light level that are happening for us. We are very aware, I'll stop sharing here. We are very aware of many of us are actually feeling this sense of spaciousness and expansion. We're feeling more light in our being. I had that incredibly vivid, pin-sharp dream about seeing myself as the light body and just levitating. I mean, I'll never forget it. It was extraordinary. So many of us energetically, spiritually, are sensing this lightness, this shift towards multidimensionality, this time slippage. You remember Saturn is in Pisces, because months ago when I did that, I was talking about one of the potential manifestations was a 3D reality, Saturn, linear time, Saturn, and gravity, Saturn, being dissolved by the fact that it's in Pisces. Pisces dissolves. So as consciousness expands, gravity dissolves. That's just a kind of seesaw. It's a counterpoint. And when gravity dissolves, we become more light body. But it also means that anti-gravity increases too. And so we are in a process which we can feel, as I say, many of us energetically, spiritually, in our dreams, that we are going beyond time and space. We're going beyond the definition of our 3D world in which we've lived for all of our lives. And it's very clear, Saturn in Pisces is part of this picture, that the old systems, the old world is collapsing. I mean, that's a huge message of Pluto in the last few degrees of Capricorn. I've talked about that to death over the last couple of years. Saturn in Pisces is part of that picture too. But what is exciting is I get very excited when the science starts to confirm the spirituality. So it isn't just, you know, woo-woo. It's actually grounded in physics. And there is a brilliant physicist, genius physicist, who many of you I know follow and will have heard of, called Nassim Harriman. And just last month, on the 20th of September, he published his new unified theory of physics, because the world of physics has been having a bit of a nervous breakdown over recent years because they couldn't make the physics of the big world match with the physics of the quantum world. You know, there was just a kind of big gap in the middle. Well, what Nassim has done is bring that together in a unified theory. And a huge part of that is he has spent, I think, 30 years putting together, I think they're 40 pages of equations, which are pretty dazzling. But he talks a lot in this paper about free energy and about anti-gravity travel, anti-gravity transportation, which is incredibly exciting. And he says it will change everything in our world. Now, I always knew this was going to be a paradigm shifting time. And the reason I felt that, and I think I've certainly said it in many videos, and I said it in the live event last September with Sue Stone in Bournemouth. I've also said it, I think, in the Pluto and Aquarius video, that I expected this to be paradigm shifting in terms of our understanding of the cosmos, the galaxies, our whole paradigm is going to shift. One of the reasons I was saying that was one of the last times Pluto was in Aquarius was in 1543 when Copernicus published his heliocentric theory that the Earth went round the sun and not the other way around. And that was just paradigm shattering for the average bloke on the street. Well, equally, I think once Nassim's unified theory of physics becomes more exposed and better known in the world, we are going to, you know, this is another Copernicus moment potentially, because he is talking about this paper as really understanding through his equations the physics of creation, the physics of interconnectedness of all things. And that was something I was writing about 10 years ago in my first book, this real paradigm shift. He's calling it an owner's manual for the universe, which I love, an owner's manual for the universe. But he really is saying that this is, you know, one living consciousness. And for me, it is one living and loving consciousness that we all are all partaking of. And so his paper, I think, is just so interesting that it's coming out at this time when we are really feeling that we are walking in two worlds. And, you know, people around us may be walking in one world and we're walking in another. And more we are establishing a higher timeline of a very loving new Earth. And I really would like to, you know, end with a quote, which I love, absolutely love. The author of this quote, I think I'm going to butcher their name. I think it's a man, Ilya Prigogine. But what he said was, when a complex system is far from equilibrium, which is what we've got at the moment, because the surges of high-frequency light coming in are causing great turbulence in this energy field. They're churning up the old energy. So we've got this tremendous churn. So when a complex system is far from equilibrium, small islands of coherence in a sea of chaos have the capacity to shift the entire system to a higher order. I'm going to say that again because it's a great quote. When a complex system is far from equilibrium, small islands of coherence in a sea of chaos have the capacity to shift the entire system to a higher order. If you're listening to this video, we are establishing those small islands of coherence in a sea of chaos. If you're listening to this video has helped your coherence. If you're joining in with me, 7 o'clock UK time on a Sunday evening, just for 15 minutes to send a loving intention and vision to help to create new Earth and to accelerate it, that is part of creating small islands of coherence. People, that isn't an original idea, of course. People are doing it all over the world with their groups, but all of it is adding to this tsunami of love, this momentum of coherence, because coherence means love. It means coherent. It means gratitude. It means compassion. It means peace. Those positive emotions are, by definition, coherent. So that's what we are doing right now. You are doing in watching this video, and I hope joining me and many others across the world on Sunday evening UK time, and remember the known Zoom links if you're just joining energetically. There are many other meditations you can join as well, but our focus is creation. Our focus is creation, and I'm very excited because Nassim Harriman has given us a physics grounding with many equations of how that is rooted in science to give us a whole new view of, I think, galactic reality, not just Earth reality, but galactic and cosmic reality. A lot in there today. I really hope it's helped you. huge shifts and changes going on. Try not to worry about the three changes. They are going to happen. The old world has to collapse. The old kitchen has to be smashed out before you can put the new one in. So just observe. The more you're with like-minded people in a group, the more you can just say, yep, astrology said this would happen. And here we go. Yep, has to be. And stand in the demolition site and be proud of the part you played. God bless. Speak again soon. Bye for now.
That's called Invocation from Edwin Goodall. Well, as I've said, everything's happening this month. Get together and meditate with some few people. More information about that coming up later. Now, Patricia Cota Robles is going to tell us all about I am recalibrating my earthly bodies to receive more light.
Hi, precious heart. The light that is flowing through the portal of the eclipse series we are now in the midst of has been building in momentum day by day. This celestial event began on October 14th with the new moon solar eclipse and will be brought to fruition during the full moon lunar eclipse on October 28th. During this time, the main focus and the information from the heavenly realms has been to awaken within the deepest recesses of our heart flames the sacred knowledge that reveals the skills and lessons we have learned throughout our many lifetimes that will help us to awaken the reality of the oneness of all life within the hearts and minds of our sisters and brothers in the family of humanity. Today, in order to empower that holy endeavor further, the company of heaven will join us as we once again implement a powerful activity of light that our I Am presence and the directors of the elements have used over the years to incrementally recalibrate our earthly bodies to withstand more light. Each time this acceleration has taken place, our I Am presence and our body elemental have been able to secure higher and higher frequencies of fifth dimensional crystalline solar light within our bodies into the core of purity in every electron of our physical, etheric, mental, and emotional bodies. If you have the heart call to participate in this activity of light, please join with the company of heaven and light workers around the world now. And we begin. I am my I Am presence. And I am one with the I Am presence of every person evolving on this planet. I am one with my Father, Mother, God. I am one with the solar logos from suns beyond suns. I am one with the mighty Elohim. And I am one with all of the beings of light associated with the elemental kingdom and the angelic kingdom. Through the divine intervention of this collective body of light beings, I invoke the most intensified frequencies of fifth dimensional crystalline solar light from the very core of creation that humanity and the earth are capable of receiving at this time. I ask that as this crystalline solar light accelerates the divine alchemy that is transfiguring my carbon-based earthly bodies into fifth-dimensional crystalline solar light bodies, it also accelerates this process within the earthly bodies of humanity, the elemental kingdom, and Mother Earth, in perfect alignment with each one's divine plan and the highest good for all concerned. Now, under the direction of our Father, Mother, God, the mighty Elohim, the fifth dimensional directors of the elements, take their strategic positions in preparation for this powerful activity of light. The directors of the air element and the sylphs of the air take their positions at the cardinal point to the north. The directors of the water element and the undines of the water take their positions at the cardinal point to the east. The directors of the earth element and the nature spirits of the earth take their positions at the cardinal point to the south. The directors of the fire element and the salamanders of the fire take their positions at the cardinal point to the west. The directors of the ether element and the devas and devarajas of the ethers take their position within the sun of even pressure in the center of the earth. Now, the directors of the elements sound a cosmic tone, signaling to humanity's body elementals that the time has come to manifest the perfection of humanity's fifth dimensional crystalline solar light bodies. Every person's body elemental responds with deep gratitude and an exceptional willingness to heal the maladies in our earthly bodies that they were forced to create after the fall. Now, all is in readiness. I first perceive my crystalline, etheric, solar light body. This is the vehicle that is encoded with my full divine potential and my divine plan. My etheric body is associated with the air element and is the vehicle that sets the tone or vibration for all of the energy that enters the world through my physical body. My I Am presence and my fifth dimensional body elemental step to the forefront and take command of this vehicle. As I breathe in deeply, my Mother God, the Holy Spirit, now baptizes my crystalline, etheric, solar light body with sacred fire. This blessing seals the new fifth dimensional solar frequencies of the air element within this vehicle, an assimilating force field of infinite perfection is formed. My crystalline emotional solar light body now comes into view. This vehicle is associated with the water element. It is the body through which the love nature of my Father, Mother, God is expressed in the world of form. This is my most powerful vehicle. 80% of my life force is released through my emotional body. My I Am presence and my fifth dimensional body elemental step forth to take command of this vehicle. As they do, the full divine momentum of my Father, Mother, God's love begins to flow through my heart flame. The love of God expands through my crystal and emotional solar light body and forms a cosmic force field of divine love that encompasses the entire planet Earth. My Mother God now baptizes my most powerful crystalline emotional solar light body with sacred fire. My feeling nature becomes one with the feeling nature of God. My emotional world is now filled with God's infinite love and all of the various aspects of God's wondrous love. This blessing seals the new fifth dimensional solar frequencies of the water element within this vehicle, an scintillating force field of infinite perfection is formed. Now, my crystalline physical solar light body comes to the fore. My physical body is associated with the earth element. The limitless physical perfection of my I Am presence is reflected in my magnificent fifth dimensional crystalline solar light body. My I Am presence and my fifth dimensional body elemental take command of this vehicle. My crystalline physical solar light body is composed of fifth dimensional crystalline cells that are absorbing the new frequencies of solar light, now bathing the earth and assimilating that light into the atoms and molecules that form each cell of my body. My Mother God now baptizes my crystalline physical solar light body with sacred fire. The infinite physical perfection of my I Am presence is permanently secured in the cellular structures of my physical body. This blessing seals the new fifth dimensional solar frequencies of the earth element within this vehicle, an scintillating force field of infinite perfection is formed. My crystalline mental solar light body now reveals itself to me. This vehicle is associated with the fire element. My crystalline mental solar light body is one with the divine mind of God. My I Am presence and my fifth dimensional body elemental take command of this vehicle, causing it to blaze like a giant sun of light, forming a halo around my head. As the halo of light expands through my mental body, it encompasses all of my crystalline solar light bodies, and I am a radiant sun of infinite light. The sacred fire breath of my Father, Mother, God activates my divine mind, and I clearly receive the divine thoughts, ideas, concepts, imagination, and all aspects of divine mind beyond imagination. All of these reflections of divine intelligence and divine mind are anchoring and reflecting into my outer consciousness as divine enlightenment. My Mother God now baptizes my crystalline mental solar light body with sacred fire. The divine mind of God is reflected through my conscious mind and perpetually reflects through my mental body. This blessing seals the new fifth dimensional solar frequencies of the fire element within this vehicle, an assimilating force field of infinite perfection is formed. I am now abiding on Earth in my etheric, emotional, physical, and mental fifth dimensional solar light bodies. And so it is. Beloved I am, beloved I am, beloved I am. Dear one, please pay attention to the wondrous solar light that will bless all life on Earth during the final days of this eclipse series. God bless you.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the sky and the sweet silver song.
There's a track from Barbara Streisand. She put that out just at the beginning of the COVID problem. But the words are relevant, you see, because as Patricia and Pam have been talking about, we need to come together to make a change to the world. All the things that are going on, wars and changes of government and all sorts of things, we need to come together. So to that end, tonight at Infinity Spiritual Centre in Anglesey Street, there's a meditation, and it's immediately followed by a free demonstration from our friend Lisa Musselman. Now, I spoke with Lisa a while ago. This is what she had to say. Okay, more exciting stuff happening at Infinity. We have our new practitioner just joined us. Elisa. Kia ora, Elisa.
Kia ora. Nice to meet you.
A guten Abend, it should be. You know, guten Tag.
Guten Tag, yeah. That's in German, yeah.
Yeah. Now, you originally come from Germany.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. So, what are you doing at Infinity?
So at Infinity, I just happened to pop in and have a chat to one of the ladies working here. And now I've just joined the healers team because I'm currently in a training becoming a contact care practitioner. So I'm a practitioner student at the moment and practicing a lot on humans and animals as well. And I joined the healer team now, yeah.
Okay. So tell us about contact care. Now, this is where it's you work with what do you work with?
Yeah, so it's quite interesting because it's very different to anything else I have ever experienced, to be honest. What we actually work with is the pressure from surprise impacts in bones. Sounds very very. I don't know. It's actually very simple, though. So it's whenever an accident happens to your body or any shock situation happens to your body, it doesn't matter if it's physical or emotional. We believe, from contact care perspective, we believe that pressure gets trapped in the bone, and you literally have that force stored in the bone. And after having those forces or those impacts, we call them flinch locks, in the bone, your body will try to rebalance himself. And then a whole shift in the body happens and you will feel aches and pains and spots of your body, and you try to work on them and things are getting better, but then they're getting back to like it was. And we believe that's because the pressure is still in the bone. And what we're actually doing is we are localizing those spots where the trap pressure is, release the pressure from the bone, which is actually very, very gentle, and people most of the time don't even feel what's happening. They just feel that something is changing. And then the whole body, the whole muscle, ligaments, tissue and everything just releases and unravels. And things are going back to a new normal, which feels different and at more ease.
Wow. Cool. Yeah, I know. Since you worked on me, I've been a lot better, I must admit it.
Oh, that's good to hear. Yeah, it's very effective. So most of the time you can already see a huge change after the first session. Sometimes it takes a while, but we call it a common sense approach for real ease.
Okay.
That's what CARE stands for.
Oh, okay.
In contact care.
Yes,
CARE.
Yeah.
And that's what it actually stands for, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so it's not like chiropractors where
not at all. I mean, you've experienced it.
Yeah, yeah.
So no, it's really about the pressure in the bone itself. And that's very, very fascinating, because when you release that, you can actually, as a practitioner, I can feel the pressure dropping. So I can feel it in my fingertips.
Wow.
And then the body just all of a sudden, you very often see them standing straighter, even though you haven't done any clicks or anything like that, because the pressure in the bone is actually the cause of that whole disbalance.
Yeah, I suppose when you get old like me, there's a lot more trauma and stuff in there to get rid of.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's just what life is, right?
So more trauma yesterday.
Oh no!
When I was working. Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. All right. So now you're here available every day, or what days are you here?
No, at the moment I'm here on Tuesdays. So I'm available on every Tuesday at the moment. Yeah.
All right. Cool. Okay. Well, so there you go. You can come in on a Tuesday and meet up with Lisa. Eliza.
Whatever you prefer.
Okay, thanks very much for that, and we'll see you again soon.
Thank you very much.
So that's what Lisa does. So you can come along to this free seminar and learn even more about what she does. And she'll be doing some live demonstrations on those people that turn up. So you can just, you know, come along, probably get a free healing if you need it. Then, as I said prior to that, you can join with other people in a meditation to change the world to the way we want it. To that end as well, on the 1st of November, there is a worldwide drumming circle that will start in New Zealand. It starts at 11 minutes past 11 on the 1st of November, wherever you are in the world. So we'll start it in New Zealand, and it will continue around the world, drumming for peace, Ukraine, Israel, Palestine, Africa, wherever. So bring a drum, come along, and just for half an hour or so, and we'll put our intentions there and join with the rest of the world and hope for change. Thank you. The other thing that's coming up on the 31st, still in this month, it's all happening, as I said, is Halloween. Now, this is now a commercial thing where you can rush down and buy some stupid clothing. But about 2,000 years ago, in mainly the Gaelic places in England and Europe, it was called Samhain, which is the quarter days of the medieval Gaelic calendar, and celebrated on the 31st of October, the 1st of November. This was basically the end of the harvest period and the start of the new seasons. So Samhain has been around for thousands of years. But then Pope Gregory IV, who lived from 1827 to 1844, he extended the Festival of All Saints, which was previously just a local feast in Rome, and he sent it out to the Universal Church. That's how the Eve of All Saints Day, Halloween, came to be celebrated by Catholics around the world on their own cultural ways. But there again, see, Muslims and Jews and Jehovah's Witnesses don't recognise it, because it's a day for when supposedly the souls of the dead come back, and people used to dress up in costumes and start bonfires to ward off the evil spirits. So it's a little bit about Samhain, not Halloween, not rush down and buy some stuff, but celebrate the end of the season, or to us, it's the start of the new season. I am Barry, it's been The Voice Within. Kakite, shalom, namaste, masalam. May your God go with you. Thank you.
For more episodes, use the accessmedia.nz app for iOS and Android devices, or subscribe to this podcast via Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Apple Podcasts. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.